I'm your masters of war. You that build the big guns, you that build the death planes, you that build all the bombs, you that hide behind walls, you that hide behind discs. I just don't want you to know I can see through your masks. You that never done nothing but build to destroy, you play with my world like it's your little toy. You put a gun in my hand and you hide from my eyes, and you turn and run farther when the fast bullets.
All right, I appreciate callers holding. What happens is they load the phone lines up and then they have a guest on. I never get to you. That's why sometimes I say, oh, just take 7 to 8 calls because I don't make you hold. Kyle Cerevit's got huge news on a whole bunch of fronts. All the new Epstein file stuff, cash telling deep trouble. It's all coming up. Let's take a few calls right now before he joins us. Matthew in California, you're on the air worldwide. Go ahead.
Hey, everybody. I would first like to say to your last point with your guest, buy Ultimate CMOS and also purchase the clothing. I wear those sweatshirts all the time. I bought a few of them for me and my wife, some of the t-shirts, and everywhere I go, people love them.
Yeah, people that feel like they're alone. If you wear an InfoWars shirt, you're going to, it's an adventure.
Oh, dude, they love it. All my friends, even people who aren't super active in this line of thinking, they see it and they respect it somehow. It's interesting. But my point that I wanted to make or draw attention to is, I'm happy you actually waited to take my call because it aligns with the previous guest to some degree, and maybe he can investigate a little bit.
Isn't Brett Pike a badass?
Oh, incredible, dude! I hear people all the time starting to homeschool. I'll play video games sometimes, and there's all these little kids, and there's, you know, geniuses, and they're just saying they're homeschooled all the time. But in that line of thought, I've studied something called anthroposophy, and created by a gentleman named Rudolf Steiner. I've just thousands of hours of his lectures and everything like that, and it is deeply interesting. I'll trust the Holy Spirit to touch people to investigate that. But in that line of thought, you know, and in frame of what's going on in the world, this is a genuinely spiritual place as far as my studies have taken me to understand. And there's so
the third
many
dimension is an
points.
Interdimensional clearinghouse. You know, I never read Rudolf Steiner, but people heard me over the last 30 years talk about my personal spiritual experiments. They go, "That's Rudolf Steiner." And then I read two of his books, and he had a different cosmology of what God had shown him to describe it, but it's very similar to what I've personally, you know, been given.
Yeah, no, it is very deeply interesting, and just approach it casually for anyone who might investigate into it. But man, you are just right over the target with some of the stuff he said, and that's what I was going to say. One, for that gentleman, I would recommend to him to look into Waldorf education. My personal feelings are it's difficult with big institutions where
say from what I know about Waldorf, they don't really follow what Steiner said.
Yeah, of course. So you got to be aware of that. You got to be on your feet. But still, there is truth there. That's what the Holy Spirit tells me, at least. But I would investigate that to that other gentleman. And also, in other political views and the Epstein stuff going on and all this stuff taking place, there's a really interesting lecture that I've come across called The Mechanistic, Eugenic, and Hygienic Aspects of the Future. And man, it is so beautiful. One, too interesting to hear you go off for, you know, I'm only 29. I've been listening to you for 5-6 years maybe, but you've been going off for a while, and you're just right over the target with deep, deep truth.
Are you saying I'm in that report, or you're talking about separately what I'm saying with that report?
No, separately. This lecture was given, you know, 150 years ago, but the stuff you're saying now, it just aligns perfectly.
Well, let's be clear. I read what Sir Francis Galton said, and before him, Malthus. So it's not like I read what they said. That's why it's the same. I read what they said. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug that Irish Sea Moss was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the Sea Moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the Sea Moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The Methylene Blue. Yeah, the Methylene Blue, life-changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. It's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formulas. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good.
You can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Discover trends and global developments years before they happen right here on The Alex Jones Show.
You know, having Brett Pike have been followed for years on, I realize I have some of his books in my house. I realize he's been around for 8-9 years now. And to know that we were instrumental in waking him up, it happened so many times with the guests, not about tooting my horn, but all the demonizations, all the attacks, all the attempts to take us off air, if they are successful and I ever get shut down or killed or put in prison, it's kind of like, too bad, you got all this to deal with now. It's just amazing. His videos are getting billions of views now in the aggregate, between 100 million views, Elon Musk, 80 million views, 70 million views. That's just Elon Musk putting his stuff out. So exciting. Now, I twisted Kyle Serafin's arm to come on because he already did his podcast. In less than an hour, he's doing another one. Because people see Cash Patel up there. The U.S. team wins. He's fierce, yelling, screaming. It's like, hey, he loves America, except that's what he does all the time. So, you know, if I wanted to be at Mar-a-Lago or the Olympics, I could be there. And the issue is that's what him and Pam Bondi do all day. I don't want to make that our top story. There's so much to get into, the Epstein files and all the developments in the State of the Union last night. But Kyle Serafin has been critical of it and says he's got some major issues. There's a big New York Times article about it. He says, ooh, that's a harbinger for Cash. Cash Patel's use of jet delayed FBI team's mass shooting response, whistleblower tells top senator. We also have a Cash Patel's Olympic schedule of plenty of time for leisure. And that's what we're dealing with here. Then we got what's happening in West Virginia and these different bills they've got. Virginia falling to the tyrants. Then we have the CIA declassified report. It had been declassified a long time ago, but Tulsi Gabbard had it digitized, put online, where, yeah, we use vaccines, poisons of food and water to dumb people down, control them, infertility. What a huge development there, having all of that. Got all these Epstein resignations, arrests, attempted suicides, the former ambassador to the U.S. from England arrested, the king's brother, the Norwegian PM indicted and tried to commit suicide. Now they say he didn't, but he's in the hospital. You've got Larry Summers, Clinton's top financial advisor, resigning, apologizing for his Epstein files. I mean, even if they're trying to cover this up, it's not working. And now Thomas Massie says they published a bunch of stuff and pull it back. I mean, this is crazy. So Kyle Serafin, top FBI whistleblower, needs some introduction, batting 1,000. He joins us right now. Kyle Serafin on Truth Social, kylesarafinshow.com.podbean.com, rumble.com/Kyle Serafin. He joins us right now. So, Kyle, so many places to go, so many angles to hit. You want to start with Cash Patel, and then, you know, sadly, I'm sad for Bongino, but, you know, he came back with a dead cat bounce of, a couple million viewers. Now it's down a few hundred thousand, as you predicted. Sad for him. He just keeps doubling down, screaming at everyone. I think he's emblematic of some of the administration that just think if they just yell at us, everything will just go away, but that's not what's happening. Kyle, and I want them to correct course because we know they're better than Democrats, but they don't seem to be doing that. Kyle Serafin.
All right. You want to lead with West Virginia? That's kind of positive. We could start off with that. And it's kind of a neat thing for liberty. So a lot of people don't maybe realize this, but the reason I don't work at the FBI, like the direct reason, I was a whistleblower. I went to Congress. I shared stuff about how the FBI was involved in malfeasance. But the actual direct reason the FBI gave was that I was inappropriate with a police officer, which is to say a cop asked me to do something he didn't have the legal right to do. And I said I wasn't going to do it in a really polite way. And it was while I was out shooting on public land in New Mexico. So my real passion is not politics. I actually hate politics, Alex. And if I had a chance, I could just teach guns.
It's
stuff
basic human rights, people. Civil rights, isn't it?
That's it. Like, I used to have the joke that I'm a civil liberties enthusiast. That was the ongoing joke. And the reason I say that is because theoretically we all are. And one of the fundamental rights that I really love is shooting. I like to shoot. So there's a good pushback that's happening right now. And I don't always tell people good news. So how about this? My buddy actually wrote up the bill or helped write the bill with Gun Owners of America. And they're pushing this in West Virginia. So it's a state law. And people can do something right now. You can reach out. There's a guy whose name is Tom Willis. His email is tom.willis, W-I-L-L-I-S, at westvirginiasenate.gov. So wvsenate.gov. If you send it out there and tell them, we want to buy machine guns in West Virginia, and you could be someone who lives in West Virginia and listens to the InfoWars, and you're like, I want to buy a machine gun. Heck yeah. Maybe you're someone who says, maybe I would move to West Virginia if I could own machine guns and the state would allow me to do that. This would be in compliance with federal law. It basically starts cutting out the shoulders and cutting out some of the supports on the National Firearms Act of 1934, which I think a lot of people know is atrocious. They started doing this with a big, beautiful bill. The Trump administration was able to kind of get that through, where we've removed the taxing for suppressors and machine guns and stuff like that, or SBRs, rather, taking that down to $0.
Yeah, but I mean, let's not take away from the fact that those are big victories.
They're big victories, and for anybody who goes out and buys a suppressor, and I got a bunch of them, and if you go out and you want to buy an SBR and you don't have to pay $200 anymore, that's a big barrier to entry. It'd be nice if we saw the DOJ actually back that play and say, hey, you know what? We're going to actually vacate some of our own ruling. They haven't done it yet, but let's do some state steps where we can. So anyway, West Virginia, if you guys want to go out there and own machine guns, you got to reach out and let them know. This is an active bill. It is being supported by Gun Owners of America. It can be supported by you too. And West Virginia is a good place to go shoot machine guns as anywhere else. It's kind of a small little bastion of liberty. As you said, they're losing those rights over in Virginia. So you might see an exodus of people from Virginia that want to own some weapon systems and, maybe you want to own a belt fed or something like that. So that was like the positive room. That's a PSA, if you don't mind.
And now let's move to Virginia. As hardcore as Illinois or California, CIA operative woman in there. No, we're going to have electronic voting machines, no voting integrity, illegals voting, drag queen story time. I mean, they are doubling down in Virginia. And the new attorney general who ran on killing members of the legislature and their families by name, he had pledged, I'm putting Trump in prison. So this is Letitia James on steroids.
It's really, really bad. I moved out of Virginia in 2021 because I looked out there, Alex, and I was like, oh, dude, I can't be here anymore. Like, I saw 5 years of what it looked like. We had Glenn Youngkin step in. And who did they have do the Democrat sort of State of the Union response? The person they had to do it was Abigail Spanberger, who just took over as governor in that state. Not only did she bring in an attorney, you know, she's working with an attorney general who was seriously problematic. She also promoted the secretary of, what is it, like Homeland Security and Public Safety.
Problematic. He said he's going to kill members of the legislature by name and their families.
And his poll numbers went up with Democrats. Yeah, God forbid we call out somebody who does something privately that gets exposed. That's just a private scandal. That's just a guy being inartful in his communications, right? Of course, he doubled down on it and said that he would still do that. The second thing is Spanberger actually brought in her own minister or whatever you want to call it, Secretary of Homeland Security and of Public Safety. And he's the former special agent in charge of Richmond, Virginia, who was in charge of Richmond, Virginia when they did the radical traditionalist Catholic doctrine, which was one of the things that kind of catapulted my whistleblowing into national fame. It's put me in a bunch of congressional records. We pointed out to this guy named Stanley Meador, who apparently doesn't care about the Bill of Rights, doesn't care about the First Amendment, your freedom to worship, thinks that it's okay to target people who like Latin Mass because you might be a white supremacist and we should be able to go after those. So that guy is now in the cabinet of this governor. So, you know, you've got bastions of liberty that exist in small little places where you can find that Americans are pushing back. And then on the other end of it, what do you get? You get people like Abigail Spanberger and the Democrats told you this is her person.
Newsom claim they're going to reform and back down his rhetoric change. But in the actual policies, what they're doing, they're more hardcore than ever.
100%. Yeah, and then look, we got a momentary blip. This is my problem. This is my concern with, like, Glenn Youngkin. Everyone's like, look, parents spoke up, and now we're going to get what we wanted. There was never any doubt that the people who live in the Northern Virginia area, from Richmond all the way up into the Fairfax County and Loudoun, all of those people, they didn't change. They got momentarily sort of distracted, and they were worried about maybe having transgender people in the bathrooms with their kids. And then they turned around and voted for the exact same wild, radical leftist policies. Their Congress people hold, you know, anti-gun events and townhouses with the moms who are demanding action, because I guess they're not getting action at home. They have to demand action that we take, you know, people's guns. So all of this kind of stuff, it's always been there. And the reason it's there, and this is something I can't help but continue to beat the drum on, the federal government is staffed by people who live in Northern Virginia. And if you don't know that, and you don't know who is putting Abigail Spanberger into office, it's the major population center right outside of Washington, D.C. There's basically three places you can live if you work in the federal government. Some people live in D.C. and they like to live in a crime-ridden city that might be a little bit better now in some areas, but it's certainly not in all. Then there's some people that live in Maryland, and maybe they don't want to own guns, so they live there, and that's fine, and they can live in Maryland. It's a little bit cheaper in certain parts of it, but it's not a place I could ever live. And if you actually care about being a firearms owner, if you care about anything about your own civil liberties, then you might live in Virginia. And now you're seeing that you're actually outnumbered pretty aggressively. And you'll find out that, you know, it's probably 3-2 that you have your neighbors that work next to you work in the federal government, and they have no conservative thoughts whatsoever. They are radical on the far left. They are not 90s Democrats, like a lot of people in the GOP are these days. They're legitimately progressive, marching as far as they can. So that's how you get a Spanberger. That's a sign of the times. My concern is that Donald Trump's little blip and popping in for these 4 years could very easily, without the accomplishments that need to happen under his Agenda 47 promises, if he doesn't achieve them, and he's not on a great track record right now in the first year, if he doesn't achieve them all, then you're going to get the same thing that happened to Glenn Youngkin. You're going to swing back and we'll see President Gavin Newsom, you know, who's
a complete buffoon. It will just supercharge the left. So I want to shift gears out of that now. Tekash Patel, you know, they got the joke meme where you're the Grim Reaper going down the hall. All these FBI agents who, you know, were J6ers, were persecutors of Trump. No one's telling Trump. Bonnie's not telling him. Patel's not telling him. You predicted that Bongino would totally implode. You know, it's sad, but it just shows the mindset. These guys think we're in the age of being asleep. People aren't. That's about just everybody else. But now, let's play the clip of when the U.S. hockey team won, you know, this amazing 48-year victory. Great. Cash Patel's there just going completely crazy. And it'd be one thing if he's at one event like this. He's constantly, from all my sources, this is what he does on the private jet, that he said if you take a private jet anywhere, like for entertainment, you should be fired. But he's used it like double or triple more, you know, than his predecessor. And so now there's investigations of it that are very emblematic of all this, of how while Rome burns, America burns. On his 250th anniversary coming up, Cash Patel and others are fiddling. Here's the clip of him. Mother that her kid killed in a blue city, or you got them not standing, you know, for the hockey team. We get that's bad. So we love celebration. But the point is, it's like Cash Patel at every event, you know, country music things. It's like every day, the only place I see him now is at Hollywood style events. And so if he was just at this event, that'd be fine. But I think it's emblematic of a showboat, but there's also some legalese issues here. So I like what he's doing over Democrats booing it, but why are you concerned about this, Kyle Serafin?
Well, first of all, if you look at what you saw in that clip, and I'm 100% behind, look, I've been on sports teams and I've been in military units where you have a great victory, you go celebrate, you do wild stuff. I graduated from PJ Indoc. We went down to the Riverwalk in San Antonio. This will gross you out. All the guys stripped down to their skivvies. We were all in our what are called Ranger panties or Sophies, and that was it. So nothing but like a little tiny pair of underwear. And we all jumped in the damn Riverwalk because we're a bunch of weirdos and we were at Hooters. And so we all dove in there and, you know, people were grossed out and laughing and cheering. And it's like, that's the moment for us at that time when you have a victory. And what you see in that video is you don't see the press in any meaningful way. and you don't see a bunch of family members. You see the trainers, you see the crew that's part of the team, you see the coaching staff, right? You see the players who are all in their 20s, basically. And then there's this 46-year-old government bureaucrat who's standing there swinging his head around like he's a rock star groupie, and he's touring with Metallica, and he looks like a fool. I mean, it's just absolutely foolery. And so the argument has been made, and it's not going to hit well. Like, you might be able to get it on social media with people that just live on Twitter and think that the AstroTurf sort of movement back normalizes this. Regular people are like, what in the actual hell is going on there? He's not in his official capacity. He's not there worried about Olympic security. He's wearing a Team USA jersey. And so here's the deal. Alex, I knew this was going to happen before that he got on the plane, and I immediately knew what was going on there because I have some sourcing on that. So I reported this on Thursday morning as he was airborne, that this is what he was going to go do. And then the FBI realized that they were in trouble, and they start cover firing. And so they have this guy whose name is Ben Williamson. He's the assistant director of public affairs. He starts going out. He's the person that everybody in the media talks to. So any of your reporters, any of the mainstream, they got to deal with Ben. And Ben is like officially the propagandist of Kash Patel. And what I saw was, like, the first move was he was doing something kind of embarrassing. Then they tried to keep it quiet, and they said it's for official meetings. So he was doing all these public PR events. He's shaking hands with the ambassador. He's meeting Italian law enforcement officials. He's meeting the embassy guard there with the Marines. And, like, all that's fine. That's what freaking politician type guys do. When that all happened, that would have been fine if that was it. But then he got caught, and he was captured on a hockey website. They saw him on the live stream. And so this Puck News account was like, hey, don't we recognize this on Dylan Larkin's live stream? And then it started leaking out. And there was somebody in that room who's associated with the FBI, and I'm sure they're on a mole hunt to try to figure out which one of them it was, leaked that story and the video that you just saw to a whole bunch of people. I mean, it went out to all the left-wing sources. And I talked to people that are on the right side of the media and on the left side of the media. I'm not necessarily one team or the other. And, like, if you have good information, you talk about the FBI, that's people I talk to. I've been doing this for several years now. You can see there's a Daily Wire story, I think, that's on your desk, Alex. And it's when I started talking to Brandon Dre, who I was already looking at the story for months before that. But the FBI director and whoever it is, right, whether it's Chris Wray, if it's Jim Comey, if it happens to be Kash Patel, like, that's kind of my beat. I worry about the FBI director abusing the jet. And it's one thing to abuse the jet. It's another thing to do that is the cardinal sin in the FBI. That is, if you embarrass the FBI, you are in deep, deep doo-doo. And he did. He looked like a fool. He was obviously not there for any meaningful purpose. And when that video came out, and it was released on Sunday, and then it was a big deal on Monday, and it dominated the news stories for, like, a lot of the stuff that I read, I went, okay, this is a mutiny. This was FBI people taking the first open shot, saying that we're still here. You did not remove us. These are the people that Kash Patel, Dan Bongino, Donald Trump would have called deep state. The people that have been there for as long as they've been there, and they're going to continue to be there because you can't get rid of all of them unless you do what I said, and they're not going to do that. So they've already shown they're not going to. It's too late. Now you're going to have a PR smash, and this is going to be the mutiny where Kash Patel is going to look like a fool, and all of his missteps over the last year, which they've definitely been cataloging, are going to start seeping out. And no sooner did I say that, I think yesterday morning, we got news yesterday afternoon that a whistleblower went to Dick Durbin. Dick Durbin is a Democrat. He's out of Illinois. He is not a person that would be friendly to me.
This signals, you called Bongino months before to the day. You called the day. You said a day or so before Christmas. You called it to the day that this was going to happen. So let's go over this. White House staff appears to Kash Patel's use of jet delayed FBI's team mass shooting response, now being reviewed by the U.S. Senate. So what does this mean?
What that means is that that happened in December. Okay. So that's a couple of months old. And there's something that people have to understand. When you're a whistleblower, you're basically taking a gamble. You're rolling the dice and saying that this member of Congress or this member of the Senate has enough power and strength to be able to make sure that I don't lose my freaking job for giving it to them, that they're going to have the good OPSEC and they're not going to, you know, sink my ship at this agency. And basically, people make that decision and then they go, nah, I'm not going to do it. They saw what happened to me. They saw what happened to my friend Garrett O'Boyle. They saw what happened to Steve Friend and some other whistleblowers. Marcus Allen testified in front of Congress. These guys lost.
But they
everything.
Can they leak stuff that fights the establishment.
You could do that if you thought you were safe. And the problem is right now, the people that are on the left that are looking at Kash Patel as a representative of the Trump administration writ large, and I don't think that's necessarily fair, but that's what they're looking at him. Cash Patel, Donald Trump, inextricably linked to the FBI. And they're like, this guy's a clown. He's clowning our agency. They take offense at that. And that video leak was the first opening shot. The second one was them coming out and showing a whistleblower. Now you're going to show that there's a problem with him using the personal jet, which is actually delaying the mission of the FBI to respond to like crime scenes, to go and do evidence response. And if you'll notice, the FBI responded and said, well, no, we already had evidence response on call. Yeah, they did, from the local field office from Boston. But what they didn't have is the National Tiered Unit, which is based out of Northern Virginia. And I know guys on this. Here's why it's relevant, Alex. The FBI director's use of the jet has always screwed with mission priorities. Like, it happened under Jim Comey.
Let's just be clear. We're not trying to nitpick Patel.
I'm trying to point to them, like, what this means.
Let me just tell them
what
I don't know. They're new viewers. We have, like, 15 clips of him, 100 probably. 15 I've seen. Where he's like, I want Ray out of there. He used the jet to go see his wife. You can't use that jet. And I pledge never use the jet. Then he is like running around everywhere to private events on the jet, admitting it. My point is that is total hypocrisy. So it just shows a moral disconnect. Because if I was the FBI director and said, I'm not going to use the jet for private stuff, I wouldn't do that. And I would expect if I did, I'm used to being a radio host, TV host, like, if I lie to my listeners, they're going to destroy me. Like, it's like, plus, right. I don't even do that anyways. It's like, I don't know how to explain it. It's just, it's so.
Alex, if you told everybody that you're just a regular guy and all you do is you fire up your F-150 every morning and you drive yourself into the office yourself, and then they found out that you had a private driver and you actually rode in on like a limousine, or you drove in a Lamborghini and yet, you know, and then you had somebody else park the car for you and you threw the keys at him and you were just Mr. Big Shot. If you said one thing and then you lived another way, that hypocrisy is really gross. Cash Patel has done that very aggressively. So he's lost people that just want to see you not abusing our money. We have a partial government shutdown still going, right?
Yeah, so let me ask you the bigger question. Paid. The bigger question. I wish Cash Patel was great. The Democrats are trying to get rid of him. Should think maybe somebody good gets in. Like, what's going on with the DOJ paralyzed with Epstein?
So that I think the DOJ is actually covering for itself. I think that the FBI is covering for itself with Epstein. This is the kind of the weirder moment. And I don't think a lot of people understand. I didn't recognize this until I was speaking to a retired agent out of New York. The case on Epstein was run out of the New York field office. So people have to understand that first. The New York field office is responsible for the biggest counterintelligence mission in the FBI. And Epstein represented a counterintelligence, probably a potential threat. He was working with the Israelis for physical security. We found out in some of the leaked files that the Israeli permanent mission to the UN was actually doing physical and technical security for his Manhattan, you know, whatever it is, penthouse, whatever it's called. So his apartment,
this is huge, and I forgot this came out.
Yeah.
And I get it. You want to hit the good news and then Patel, and I'm not saying you're wrong to do it, but you got a lot of great sources. You're not just him talking to Mossad, MI6, CIA, back to Bill Barr, the airports with Bush Sr. What you're pointing out, start over, Israeli government running security for the New York offices that Ehud Barak's constantly got, Jeffrey Epstein. That means if he isn't Shin Bet, if he isn't Mossad, he's above that. He's Israeli executive branch.
It means that he was not only being targeted by the Israelis were definitely involved physically. So that means that the Mossad or anybody else that's involved in Israeli intelligence is going to be part of it, because like they're not going to miss that opportunity. He's too well connected. That also means that the CIA is going to be interested, which, you know, we're looking for. How do you confirm that these things happen? Everyone speculates. They point to this, like, you know, file from the FBI where Alex Acosta says he, quote unquote, belonged to intelligence. Well, there's your link. If you have the Israelis doing security at your place, the CIA is interested. The only way they're able to operate with a national resource means the FBI is also co-signing on it, because you get the biggest FBI field office for CI is also there. And that means NSA is involved in collection. So now you've implicated the entire United States intelligence community.
Stop there. And I remember seeing this last night and I forgot to cover it. That's my problem. I have literally 100 Epstein things I haven't gotten to here. I've become punch drunk. Kyle, if I can't dig it out, send it to us right now. I want to come back and start over, because Israeli government running security for Epstein in his New York lair is sensational. And I remember when I saw it, I meant to cover it. Oh my God. I mean, this is so huge, direct, absolute confirmation. Let's start over. Let's pull the document up. Let's come back with this and start over. This is Massive. Call Servant's our guest. We'll be right back. Meanwhile, Cash Patel's running around playing Mr. Hollywood.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug that Irish Sea Moss was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. All that stopped with the Sea Moss, because it's a thyroid issue and the the CMOS has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue. Yeah, the methylene blue, life-changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. It's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together. And they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good. I love the greens powder. I've tried every different type of greens powder out there, and nothing has had as much stuff, amazing stuff packed into it. It has like a decent flavor to it. So the Optimal Human is like a daily staple.
It's good, right?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And, okay. And I'm not saying that because just for you guys, but seriously, I've tried so many greens powders over the years, and it really is the best.
And are we paying you, Katie? Did we pay you to call in?
I would love to work for you. I swear, Alex Jones Fisher is on like my mantle with all of my family pictures.
That's amazing.
We love Alex.
Some people call in and this person, you're paying them. But, like, no, our products really are good. People really like them. It's true.
Well, I accredited him to, the life-changing experience I had when I decided to leave California because I didn't want to bash Trump. And I listened to Jones when I found him. And I'm like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Right.
And so I moved back home to Ohio. And 3 months later, I met my husband. I feel like that life-changing event for me was because of listening to all the information that he gives. He's not like predicting the future. He's just giving you the information that's hard to find, where they're telling you what they're going to do.
Yeah, well, now you have a 3-year-old kid, so your life's going great.
Yes.
I've said it before, but with a lot of these products, like, you really don't know what it's going to do for you because you might not know that you're lacking a vitamin or lacking a mineral. And it like happens all the time with iodine. Iodine is one of those things where like, as soon as you start taking it, you're like, oh, I'm not supposed to, and I'm not a doctor, it's not a medical claim, but people experience this. I've heard it from my friends where they're like, I'm not supposed to be tired all the time. I apparently just was lacking iodine. And it's like, you don't know if you're going to feel more energetic, if you're going to sleep better, if you're not going to have chills anymore. It's like people sort of go around thinking that that's the way their body is, but it's like, no, you're missing a key component. You're missing a vitamin, you're missing a mineral, and you don't even realize until you start taking something from the Alex Jones store. So I completely understand that you start taking the Irish sea moss and suddenly something that you thought was just the way your body is. No, turns out you can fix it. You can fix these things. Again, I'm not making medical claims, but you can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thanks for the plug, Katie.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fights will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want to stop tyranny? Well, so does he. Live from the InfoWars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is so huge, and I'm so glad Carl Servin brought this up. I've got a bunch of other Epstein news where they more sex slaves, buying babies. It's all there. All these huge resignations happening. Here's Dropside News on the latest people going through the files. The Israeli government installed and maintained security systems at Epstein's apartment. Yeah, those cameras. Ehud Barak, there are dozens of times. So this is the Israeli government running security for Epstein. This is proof that he was an Israeli government asset, amongst others. They've tried to deny it. The evidence has been overwhelming. This is so historic. And there are the emails. There are the documents. This is so huge. Imagine the other 98% of the files is being suppressed. What's in that? We'll talk to Carl Seraph about that in a moment. But top FBI whistleblower batting 1,000, Carl Seraph. Break this down and why it's such a big deal.
Yeah, if you don't mind, I'm just going to plug. If people want to listen to a long kind of very pedantic conversation about how this stuff all works from a friend of mine who spent 30 years in military intelligence and about 2 decades in civilian intelligence as well, I did this on Friday's podcast, so people can go to Spotify. It's KyleSeraphinShow.com. Go look for the episode we did. It was called Gunboat Diplomacy, and you can go look that up, and there's some chapters in there so you guys can find where we talked about this specifically. But let me try to break it down. In my words, sometimes I'm a better synthesizer of data than I am like the originator of the analysis. Here's what it looks like. The Israelis were 100% involved based on these emails back and forth in physical and technical security and surveillance at Epstein's place in New York. So it's the permanent mission to the UN. But if you're a security official, the easiest way that you get intelligence people into the United States is they have some sort of cover job. This should be like basic spy stuff you've seen in every movie, but they get a job. So you work in the embassy, or maybe you work at the permanent mission to the UN. There's a reason why the FBI's field office in New York has the single biggest counterintelligence mission, is because that's where the UN is. Okay, so that's part one. The second piece of that, which I think is also really relevant, is that you have to understand something about FBI culture, and this does involve the FBI. Remember, the FBI is the one that is theoretically redacting and giving these files out. FBI culture is kind of sketchy. The people that want to do the work that everyone thinks the FBI does, which is basically law enforcement, that's actually not really well celebrated. The people that have been running the FBI for the last couple administrations are mostly counterintelligence, national security types, so counterterrorism, counterintelligence. And a lot of them come out of what we call the New York Mafia. And that's not a mafia thing. It's just like people who work in the FBI in New York. It's the biggest office. It also has a tendency towards corruption. And if anybody has any doubts about that, go look up the story of Charlie McGonigal, who was the special agent in charge of counterintelligence. And he's now doing prison time because he accepted bags of cash, literally hundreds of thousands of dollars in like McDonald's brown paper bags. And after interviewing his girlfriend, it sounds like there might have been like a lot more than that, like to the tune of several million, where he was taking money from Albanian spies and working out deals while he's working for the FBI, doing all this shady stuff. And all that is to say that when you're a senior executive in those roles, especially on the FBI side, that's the visibility I have, these people are looking for a soft landing. They're looking for, how do I come out of government service where I make $250,000 a year in New York, which is apparently not enough money for them? And how do I make $500, $700, $1 million a year? And what they do is they go and they find businesses that might want to hire them as like head of security or the person that does whatever their sort of, you know, global sort of look into security and problems. And so you'll hire them and they'll get into all kinds of illogical industries. That's how you end up with guys like Jim Baker, who was at the Twitter files, and he's the chief counsel for Twitter. They all try to find this soft landing job that pays a ton more than government service. And what is the better way to find someone who's got a bunch of money than going to a Jeffrey Epstein type who ran in those circles with princes and kings and captains of industry and prime ministers of the UK and things like that, and prime ministers of prime ministers of other European nations and so on. And you find these international business types that are working with Jeffrey Epstein, and then you approach him. And maybe you approach him because you've got compromise on him. Maybe you approach him because you're going to work a deal. Maybe you have a criminal case about him doing some shady things with some little girls. Whatever it may be, you lean on that guy and you make him one of your assets. And so we can tell that because the Israelis are involved, there's no question the CIA would also want to be involved. We're not going to have Israeli intelligence on U.S. soil doing something and not having our intel services. Well, you also know the NSA is going to be involved. They do the technical surveillance. They do what's called signals intelligence.
Sure, so you just covered the FBI, but let's go right to the meat here. Obviously, Epstein's involved. Israel is running a security system there. That means basically he's in league with them, which we already knew, but this is huge. Speak to the Israeli angle.
Well, the Israeli angle basically implicates the rest of the U.S. government, too, because we're not letting somebody do that. And again, if they have these emails, they know that this was happening. How do they have those emails? Where do they come from? Even if it was after the fact, they would still go in and try to exploit that situation. So you're not going to let the Israelis run an operation with a Jeffrey Epstein solo. That means that they're going to have to either co-run him, or he's going to be answering to multiple masters, whether it be people at CIA or FBI. All those things can be done, other intelligence agencies as well. So now you know physically that he has allowed someone, because he had Ehud Barak staying at his apartment, come in and install cameras and do technical and physical surveillance of the property for the purposes of security. I mean, I've seen the inside of his apartment. I don't know if you've ever seen any of the pictures, but the New York Times did a nice expo. There are entire rooms that are all done in white and blue, just like you find on the Israeli flag. And they're very nice looking things. And maybe he has the same sort of ethos that my wife does, that white and blue look really good together, like on a teapot. Or maybe there's, you know, something to it, the symbolism of that color. But what I do know is that we now have emails that directly link him to working with Israel. And then in the story, you had people like Benjamin Netanyahu saying, well, that proved that he actually wasn't a big fan of Israel. Well, I think it's kind of the opposite. When the permanent mission
from Israel, Israel's running the surveillance cameras and obviously the spying inside, that means he was under their control, vice versa. And as you said, you always cut to the deeper matter. Any major intelligence operation like this, they knew what's going on. The CIA, NSA, MI6 are all involved. So how does that tie into Prince Andrew as the trade representative of England selling him out, and their former U.S. ambassador from England being basically indicted for espionage? How does that all tie into this?
Well, what it tells you is that they knew this all along. There's no question in my mind that the things that we're seeing pop up in the files, they were well known. They had to have been well known. Our intelligence capabilities are really high. So are the Brits. So are the Israelis. So are the other Five Eyes countries. So they knew this stuff. Other European assets, like we're close to some other European powers as well. And they would have known this stuff too. What they didn't have is like a public expose where they were being exposed. And so the fallout from the Epstein files that we keep seeing, and we saw another member of I can't remember what the guy was. There's so many of these guys I keep seeing, Alex, but they go like, well, because I was implicated in the files, I'm going to step away from my position and focus in on this other thing. I'm going to sell off my talent agency where I make
Larry
a bunch
Summers,
of money.
I mean, all of them, there's hundreds of resignations, but my point is exactly, I said 20 years ago when it first broke, the agencies at the top are all the same group of intelligence. Why is the UK arresting top people? I mean, obviously, I think they're at the heart of it, but they're still high-level people. Why did the Trump White House, if they're covering up a bunch of other stuff, release this about Israel? I mean, we got to admit, these 3 million files have got some really damaging stuff in them.
They do. Some of it may have to do with that nobody actually knows what's in there, what they're releasing, because they're so voluminous. And like 3 million is a lot. It sounds like it's
probably doesn't know what beef jerky and grape soda is.
Probably not. Having sat through some of the meetings and having sat in some of the briefings where they were talking, I remember I was in a 2017 meeting about counterterrorism, and they were briefing Milo Yiannopoulos on the same exact page as like Jordan Peterson. And they were talking about Nick Fuentes, and they were talking about Richard Spencer, who at the time was like an avowed, like, you know, like neo-Nazi or whatever. And so they were doing all these people as though they were all part of the same movement, the quote unquote alt-right. The FBI has kind of an interesting grab on this. They take agents that don't have a background, don't have a passion in it, and they make them work these cases. They may not know what the hell they're talking about. So yeah, the beef jerky thing, all the stuff that they're releasing, they may not actually have any awareness of what it is. They may have never even seen even an inclination there was something called Pizzagate and what that may have meant, and, you know, sort of putting
that
in the
mainstream. Well, you told me, you've talked to high-level FBI agents that don't even know about the whistleblowing cases.
100%. Yeah, I mean, it's like, it's regular, like, you know, my buddy Garrett O'Boyle is back in the FBI right now, right? And so he brought a bunch of data to Congress, and he testified, and he's gone back into an office where he's working at, and people there are like, hey man, like, sounds like you used to be in Kansas and now you're here. Like, that's cool. And they have no idea for the last 3 years he's been sitting on his butt and then basically like throwing grenades into the swamp in Washington. They don't even know who this person is. They're not paying attention to the news.
They don't even know this is a super famous person, especially in their agency. Exactly. And that's what I've gotten from, I'm trying to tell government people, court people, they act like you're a space alien, and you start telling them stuff about their own job. They go, how do you know that? And
that's
I'm just
right.
like, it's no, open source. They're like, first they think you're weird, then they're shocked, then they're scared that you know stuff.
That's 100% right. Yeah, you're like an alien. How do they don't know, because they're so fixated. And look, Alex, outside of your audience, outside of some of the audiences of people that are really probing to try to find what's accurate, and they're going to hear some things from you and they'll agree and they'll disagree. They'll hear some from me and they'll agree and disagree. They'll go and look for other stuff. If you're not out there probing like left-wing media, right-wing media, like weirdo independent media that has like some unknown, you know, angle, if you're not constantly being a skeptic and trying to peel back the layers and go, okay, Serafin's got a bias, you know, Jones has a bias, we all have a bias. Like, can you line up all the things and try to figure out like, okay, how does this work, and how do I avoid confirmation bias?
Right. I mean,
we're all trying to do that, and we all are limited because we're human beings, we're imperfect, and we're on this earth doing the best we can. But at the end of the day, like, there are people, a lot of people that are not in your audience, not in my audience, that are just, they wake up and they turn on Fox News and that's the truth. Maybe they don't look at any news.
Oh, I've gotten hundreds
like a lot
of phone
FBI
calls,
agents.
Emails apologizing because they just digitized, it was already classified, Operation Artichoke to poison the U.S. population through food and shots and water to make us more manageable. Yeah, it's official policy, folks. It's in other documents. People are like, it's true. It's true. I told people decades ago about this stuff.
That's and nobody looks at it. Nobody looks it up, or they go, you know what? Alex Jones has been discredited, which is why they attack guys like you. They go, Alex Jones is not a credible source. It's like, well, maybe he is on some things and maybe he's not on others. He's a human being. Like, you're not saying that you're giving truth, but you're looking for it. And so anyway, there's a lot of people that are in all these government agencies that are completely out of touch. They had no idea what they were revealing. But I think that the people that needed to know did know, Alex. I think that's pretty clear. And I think the dangerous, and probably this is what we're really seeing. This is what the real fallout is. A lot of stuff has been exposed that is just on the margins of being dangerous to these people, and they're realizing how bad it is. And so you're seeing reactions that are very theatrical, like arresting a prince. You think they didn't know he was giving those documents away? You think they didn't know what sort of stuff he was involved in? There's like 100% chance that they did.
He was given authorization to do it.
That's right. But they're gonna save face right now. So these are face-saving activities. We're going to put the guy from Norway in. He's going to do a suicide attempt. Like, everyone's going to be, like, people are going to walk away from their companies. People are going to leave their law firms. People are going to act like, oh, my God. You know who's not leaving is Howard Lutnick. That's kind of interesting because he's kind of got some real strange things
that
keep proving to be not true.
Larry Summers has left. What do you make of Lutnick? Now we learn he didn't just lie about one of y'all in once, but multiple times. He lied about only meeting him once with his wife, creepy, and all that. And now insider trading 9/11, his son buying up all of anybody that would sell their insurance on if the tariffs got reversed. I mean, this doesn't look good.
So there are two reasons that he could act that way. And they're always this, it always comes down to these two things, right? So it's the binary. So people are going to have to weigh what they think. One possibility is he's totally innocent. And he's just a man who's like happens to be in a circumstance that looked really bad. And it looks bad. And he knows, like, look, I didn't do anything wrong, so I'm going to stick it out. And then the other is that he did everything and a lot worse, and he better stick it out because
Remember,
otherwise that other stuff comes out.
The executive order, I checked it out, with two other all lawyers that even Kavanaugh said, what Trump did is constitutional, but this is written wrong. And then he writes
it
wrong,
there are
and
then
ways his kids cash in on, go ahead.
Yeah, there's ways that you can do it. And look, I'm not a big fan of the tariff idea only because it should have come with a huge chunk of, it should have been in conjunction with Doge, if we're just being really honest. If we want to be conservative people, the whole point was, is Donald Trump said, we're going to fund the U.S. government with tariffs and we're going to get rid of the IRS. You guys remember that?
Yeah.
So that would involve 80% of the government getting cut, all the fraud, waste, and abuse, all the garbage. The whole Doge mission would have had to actually be successful. And then you can fund a whole bunch of government with tariff, and that'd be amazing.
Elon got run out as soon as he wanted to go after the Pentagon and CIA.
That's exactly it. And so, you know, the mission basically stalled there. So the tariff thing seems like we're trying to put a Band-Aid on a huge bleed. It doesn't make a difference to me. I think it's dumb. But I also noticed that the people who are involved in certain things and may either, and whether he profited or not, the optics on it were terrible. The letters were confirmed that his old firm, the investment bank, which is called Cantor Fitzgerald, apparently was like offering to buy them. Whether they actually bought them or not, another animal.
They filed that they bought them. Now they say, oh, we really didn't. You got to love that.
I saw that too. Mm-hmm. Well, listen, there's two things you can do if you get caught with your hand in the cookie jar. You can own it and you can ask for mercy and you can hope the public goes with it, or you could try to do the thing where you say,
well,
it wasn't me.
Well, here's a gross analogy. It's like your neighbor comes home and you're on top of his wife inside of her and you just say, oh, I was working on the roof and fell through the ceiling and just fell into your wife. I mean, no one's buying that.
Unless they want to buy it, right? If somebody needs to delude themselves,
yeah,
there's plenty of people out there.
What's that Latin phrase people want to be lied to? I forget what it is.
Not off the top of my head. Maybe your crew's got it. But at the end of the day, that's what we're looking at, though. There's plenty of people. I remember you've had Viva Fry on a bunch. And one of the things he told me was, if somebody is guilty, you know, they're gonna definitely sue. And if they're not guilty, then they're definitely gonna sue because the behavior is gonna be the same. So, you know, that's why it's hard looking at Lutnick, because if he did what they think and he did worse, he definitely is gonna deny it.
I was about to say,
and
when people are guilty, they're more
he's gonna
apt to
deny
sue you because then it makes them look innocent.
That's it. That's exactly right. So anyway, there's not going to be like behaviorally. I'm just looking at the circumstances out there. I'm looking at what this stuff keeps doing. And what I'm seeing is that other nations, not the United States, seem very comfortable with doing a bunch of cover-up theater. And it seems like people in the U.S. don't seem to worry about that. And
well, let's bring my back to this, because it is such a bombshell that in the emails, Israel's basically running the lair of Epstein in New York. That is just beyond sensational. And I don't see how they... And we need to look at pull it back up. What are the dates there? Because Netanyahu's claiming it stopped after Ehud Barak left. He's saying, no, Ehud Barak was running Epstein, which we pretty much know. He's a Rothschild
agent.
Uh,
installed in 2016 was when the equipment started being installed and the emails go back through there. So who knows if it was stuff that was being done in a different way at a previous time.
Well, these are just the emails that we see. Why would the Israeli intelligence officially admit they put in security equipment?
Well, they're not officially admitting it. They're doing a private email exchange. And here's the other thing that we have to remember, too, Alex, because I think other people don't necessarily. You think maybe I do, certainly. If I send an email, like, I assume that somebody else is reading that stuff.
I was about to say, right? a government sending to me, that's official.
Yeah. And if I'm sending you an email, I'm assuming it's being read by a third party. That's just the way it works.
What people get on air is even more over the top when I say in private. That's my rule. Right. Like, there's nothing hidden. Exactly.
Yep, and I can attest to that from seeing the text messages. Like, nobody's going to find anything exciting that we wouldn't say in public, in our private conversations, because that's just how it is. You just know that it's going to be exposed at some point, or it could be. And if you don't know that, then you're a fool. I don't think Jeffrey Epstein was a fool. I don't think the people that run the security for the Israelis were not scared of this being exposed in an open email. Normally what you do, if you want to have that sensitive conversation, Chris Ray used to do this, you fly to the person.
Well, that's where you meet them in a garage or in a park. But that's the thing is, it was such an open secret. They all had their shields down. Because what I was told about this 50 years ago, they were all just a mass. He was more like a conduit, like a switchboard. It was just a huge.
But yeah, like an access agent is what we would usually call that. So somebody that allows access for certain individuals to other individuals. So here's it. And we talked about that on my Friday podcast. People can go listen. It's worth a kind of an intelligence primer.
Yeah, explain but an access agent.
It means somebody who's able to introduce to somebody else. It's like a broker. It's a middleman. It's like, Alex, you have a program. And yeah, well, look, you've got a program. You've got an audience. People listen to what you say. You're looking for people that might want to sell something to those people. So you've got maybe an advertising agency. And they say, look, I've got all these different advertisers. So they're going to introduce Alex Jones, the talent, to advertising people that want to spend advertising dollars, and they get a cut of it. An access agent is a go-between or a cutout or a middleman or any way you want to do it. And then sometimes those people can be other things as well. And so what's crazy is because they're communicating in the open via email, that means the NSA can grab that. And if you think Jeffrey Epstein is not a counterintelligence target, then you are a very naive person.
I'm not a spy, but I've studied it a lot. The Israelis put that there in purpose. Well, and I guess that's when they're in a joint operation, they just do it more transparent. Like they would.
There's no reason. Yeah. Why would you hide if you know that the guy is already working with other intelligence agencies? And so, look, we can make this is educated speculation. This is inference from the available facts. But you can speculate from this story and the emails there with the Israelis on board that you can say United States intelligence is involved. And a lot of people speculated on how you do it. This is the direct
link.
But
Mike Benz already
Israelis
got that.
Are there, so is everybody else.
He's running an airport with Les Wexner, and it hooks back to Bush. And it's CIA. And now they're finding all these planes all over the country and other, evergreen transportation type facilities.
So here's how you add to that, though, Alex. If the CIA is there, the FBI is there as well. Because even though the CIA does have limited capacity to work domestically, they really have to play ball with the FBI.
Well, let's bring that up. What about the DEA and FBI investigating him? We now learn since 2015-16 for money laundering and drug running, which I said years ago.
Yeah, that's what shows up. That's what the DEA does. The DEA does drug cases, but they often are able to follow the money, and that's how they get it done. So the DEA does money and drugs. The FBI does just money in the pure white collar space.
The Middle East, Switzerland, Europe, Russia. I got a bunch of them. It's all over the world.
So, everybody kind of alleges like that Epstein was this one thing. He's a guy, he's into underage girls, and that's it. It's like, it probably was a bunch of things that it looks like. And whatever those things were.
He's like the guy in the old movies, but I've seen you for real, where they open their trench coat and they got alcohol, guns, watches, Rolex. Yeah. It's like...
So the movie Lord of War was a really good one. Nick Cage kind of giving people the kind of, it's like, what do you need? If you need that thing, then I can get access to it. You need munitions, I can get munitions. You need explosives, you need a plane, you need a tank. Like in his space, whatever he had access to, it sounds like he might have been that access agent to make some introductions there. And so if the DEA is involved, like where are the DEA files? Those should fall under DOJ. What about the intelligence agencies? What about NSA? What about CIA? What about the other sort of,
That's why Trump's under tremendous pressure to cover this up. But doesn't he get that it's not being covered up by incompetence or by on purpose? All the stuff they release is totally damning to foreign governments and to others, but not to him. But now
here's why it's not. Here's why I think it's not, Alex. Here's why I think that they are not going to give you everything you want on it, because the other people that are also implicated are, in fact, our intelligence agencies.
Of course.
And specifically, the people who are giving the files right now is the FBI. You think it doesn't implicate some dirty FBI executives that co-signed off on it, said, look, I know he's using underage girls as prostitutes. You know, maybe they're post-pubescent girls. Maybe they're 16, 17, but they're minors. Under federal law, that's a problem for them. But we're going to let that exploitation happen because we're getting credible intel, or because he's allowing us to place ourselves at really good agencies when we come out of these jobs. So we're all benefiting from this. Like, this is where it would get really, really ugly. And this is me making kind of an inference on what I see here and having talked to people out of New York.
Although Trump has said on TV three times, it'll hurt America if this comes out.
And I think it doesn't hurt America. Yeah, I think it hurts government agencies that think that they are the same thing as America.
No, I agree, but the fact that Trump, and I had this a year ago when he first got in, I was told this, he goes, okay, it's old, it's a mess, plus they falsely implicate me. Okay, let's move on. Bigger fish to fry. They double back and blamed him, but he's still pigheadedly going along with it.
Yeah, you can't get away from this. And the reason why, and we talked about it the last time I think I was with you, but there's no way to get away from this ever, because his administration is the administration where they closed the actual criminal investigation into potential co-conspirators. Once you no longer have the cover of an active investigation where you can say, look, we can't tell because we're still working on it. And every previous one did. So Bush had it and Obama had it and Trump won and Biden, they all had ongoing investigation. That's why we can't talk about it. That's done. And whether that was an intentional thing that Todd Blanche did and pulled over on Bongino and Patel, or whether that the FBI actually helped them do that because
sure,
they knew this would be
technical,
one of those
in
shots.
The court of public opinion, this is the anti-establishment, anti-pedophile network presidency. That's bigger in voters. I get the technical you're
if
saying.
If they do it right. Yeah, if they did it right. But the problem is that Trump does not control the FBI, which is the beginning point we made about why you're seeing the FBI actually going after their own director right now. They're leaking information on him. We didn't talk about it, but there's
like
a story in the New York Times.
Glad this is hurting Trump. The Democrats are trying to put me in prison and you too. And I'm pissed because I need him to succeed. I'm getting really pissed.
That's exactly it. I spend every morning pissed off at this stuff because it was so avoidable. The story we sent you over about the New York Times, that's just more evidence that the FBI was never claimed back. It's not Donald Trump's FBI. It's the FBI's FBI, just like it was under all the previous. It just turns out that the FBI's FBI works really well under people who are more corrupt. I mean, if you're a corrupt group of people who are working and selling influence, or you're looking to try to get your next job that puts you into some really, you know, high paying position, would you rather Joe Biden, who had his son running around the world grabbing bags of cash, or would you rather have somebody who might declassify it and said they're going to go out there and gut these intelligence agencies? Like, that's a liability to you. So what's better? Destroy the credibility. And so
because Trump is good. They're setting him up, as you predicted a year ago, and he's walked right into it, which is totally disgusting.
Unfortunately, Kash Patel is trying to be a playboy. And by being a playboy, he set himself up to be destroyed as well. So I'm just going to tell you, here's what I see. If they can't fix this, and I don't know how much time they have, but it's limited. If they're not going to go after and gut the agencies that I used to work at.
You're saying Congress is sharpening their knives for Patel.
They've already told us. There was a reference the other day. I actually saw a tweet from one congressperson to like Jamie Raskin and said, please add this to the file. They're going to impeach. They might impeach Kash Patel before they ever come after Donald Trump. I think 2027.
Well, plus
if
his perjury
loss,
and confirmation, as you predicted a year ago.
Yeah, he's toast. And I guarantee you that there are shadow FBI files, either off books or they're being hidden, that they are keeping track of all of his misbehavior. They're going to leak some of it for PR wins, and then they're going to go after him publicly.
Well, he's such a weasel. They'll make some about Trump.
Anything's possible. He does seem like he's been really loyal to Trump so far. So that may be the only thing that he has, like his loyalty. He sure as hell wasn't loyal to me, though. I'll tell you that. And he wasn't loyal to the other guys that tried to help him out and get to the spot. So, you know, we'll see. It's going to be an ugly little moment, but this is not good for America. You know, nobody should be celebrating it.
I'm not happy about it. Kyle, you'll be back soon. Kyle Sarovich, show you another podcast right now. Thank you so much.
All right, buddy. Nice talking to you.
All right. Harrison Smith, loaded for bear, about to take over. Please remember, theauctionstore.com. Got a special sale right now, 50% off Ultra Methylene Red, despite its fact it's selling out. Thank you.
We've got to get to a point where we are self-sufficient again, Texas. And when it comes to health, also food, our food needs to be clean, number one. It just needs to be clean. And
Florida has pointed out, put that back on screen, all these major brands have got, like, you know, hundreds of times the glyphosate you should add.
Glyphosate.
Absolutely. Well, your doctor tells us what that does.
Oh, this is going to change your brain. This is going to set you up.
It erases your blood-brain barrier.
Oh, yeah.
So it's really an accelerant or an adjuvant. Absolutely. Everything in there. Explain that.
It destroys the blood-brain barrier. So that's a protective thing that happens between the cerebral spinal fluid and your fluids inside the brain and the things that attack it from the outside. Once that barrier is depleted, then it's subject to all kinds of heavy metals, things that get sprayed from the sky, right? Barium, aluminum, all these things that it protects you from. why methylene blue works. It does. It counters that. It's.
Counter- let me ask you that. 45 minutes in, you feel it, Doc?
Yeah, I feel pretty good.
Be honest, though. You got your own special brand. Is this good or what?
No, this is the same effect I'm getting, but it feels right. Yeah, it feels right. Yeah, it's a little easier to take. Yeah.
By easier, what do you mean? Compared
just
to-
in the way it feels, you know, just going down, drinking it. But it's, yeah, it's...
So this one tastes better, but it's as good as the one your doctor gave.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, so your doctor must have a good one.
We'll see. We'll go down the road a little ways. I'll text you.
Guys, get him a couple bottles of this. I need Doc Chambers endorsing this.
I'm not getting it for free, but I'll definitely help.
No, you're getting it down. Come on. Free your blood. It's amazing.
Powered by Methylene Blue. Ultra Methylene Blue. At TheAlexShowStore.com.
Unlimited pilot.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones